sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I'm really willing to die for my faith.
I'm just being maybe too honest. I wonder about you. I mean, I hope that I would, but I don't know. And frankly, it's not really an issue in our time and place, is it? We really don't have to deal with martyrdom nowadays. I might even posit that more of us are willing to die for our country than we are for our faith. I don't know. What do you think of that? Do you think that's true? So much for preaching on a more gentle text, on a gentle midsummer day, right? Welcome. Welcome to Jesus' exorcism today from the Gospel of Mark. Because, of course, as I've been saying, every text, I think, is an exorcism in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus' exorcism today from Mark's Gospel in the 6th chapter invites us to think about some ideas that we probably don't, nor would we like to, ponder very often. Martyrdom. John the Baptist decapitated, literally, for his preaching. Decapitated for his discipleship, decapitated for his willingness to speak the truth, and then caught in a world of seduction, power, ignorance, and brutal violence. Are we willing to be arrested, bound up, as it says in the text, arrested, bound up, and even die for Christ? Sometimes I think, yeah, maybe I'd be more ready to die for my country than to die for Christ. There's a lot more glory in that, for one thing. And dying for Christ, it can just sound these days so out of touch. I mean, what does that even mean here, in this time, in this place? What would it look like for you to die for Christ? When was the last time anyone asked you that? Well, here I am, starting this sermon by asking you this week to pray this question of dying for Christ. Lord, what does it look like to die for you? Pray that question this week. What does it look like to die for you, God? Because I'm confused. I'm scared. I'd rather just go back to the things of this world, the things that give me glory here and now. But what are you calling me to do, God? Now, I'm not totally convinced that we're all called to go charging into today's equivalents of King Herod's courts. Maybe, again, that's my fear speaking. But I do believe that we are definitely called to ponder at the very least, this idea of speaking truth to power. Of speaking truth to riches, truth to luxury, truth to prestige, truth to sexual exploitation, truth to the crowds that judge and pressure, truth to violence, truth to ignorance and apathy. God's truth to, well, just the way the world is. What does that look like for you? It was suggested to me this week that the most tragic character in our gospel text is actually not John the Baptist, even though he dies such a violent death, but the most tragic character is actually Herod the king. John's message about repentance and his pointing to Christ lives on despite his death. The truth lives on, but King Herod just becomes yet another fallen ruler in history who succumbs to so much. Herod never got it. He fell for the temptations and the seductions of this world. He went back to the world, and it's such a raunchy story, this gospel text for today. This daughter of his manipulated and dancing in front of him, Herod all salivating and caught up in it, making a promise to give her whatever she wanted, almost like he was in a trance, pressured by the crowd around him. You should do something. You should do something for her. So he just, like, in a trance, just makes her this offer. And the mother is behind it all with her twisted desire to kill John the Baptist. And then that gruesome concluding image today of John's head on a platter. Ugh. At first glance, I wonder if we can even relate to this stuff. You know, I mean, we're good people. This says nothing to us. But then I think, well, we sure can fall for the temptations and the seductions of this world, can't we? As much as we try to put ourselves in John's shoes, we often find ourselves in Herod's. Friends, what is it that tempts or seduces you? There's certainly some sexual connotations in this story, and that's real. We can talk about those. But there are many ways that we can be lured away from following Christ. I'll never forget when Micah was a sweet little boy. He's still a sweet kid, but when he was little, one time we were having a special treat. We were having ice cream together. And as we're eating and enjoying this, Micah says to me, "Daddy, why are the things that taste so good so bad for our bodies?" That's the question, isn't it? Why are things that are so tasty, or so easy, or so much fun, or so affordable, or so immediate, so bad for our bodies? And not just our own physical bodies. So often as we indulge, we can hurt others. Perhaps unconsciously, we can hurt other human family members, other bodies. We can hurt the church, the body of Christ, or the earth, which some theologians have called the very body of God. Why are the things that taste so good so bad for our bodies? Vicar Alex asked me this week about clergy shirts, where I get them, where we get them. And we had this conversation just briefly about the irony that the shirts we wear to serve God's people, and I'd hope God's body, the earth, can have labels on them that say made in Bangladesh, made in factories by children, or we really have no idea of the conditions, the environmental impacts of these places. Same can probably be said for most of our clothes. Just take a quick minute. Look at the tag that you're on, the whatever you're wearing right now. Take a look at the tag. And I wonder what country the clothes you're wearing right now come from, and the hands that made them, that sewed them together, the factories that those clothes move through, just the clothes that we're wearing, the impacts, the ways that bodies can be hurt. Here I give my money to these companies. I just did again this week when I bought something. I hand my money over to them as if in a trance. And I guess I can rationalize it. You know, I give a boost to the economy in some way, I guess. I created some jobs and all that. But I'd be pretty surprised if the conditions for those elementary school girls in Bangladesh who sewed my shirts together, dancing for their food like Herod's daughter, are very healthy, very safe, very respected and honored, and cared for. That's just one example, friends. I don't need to tell you there are some powerful forces in this world, and it's all so very complicated. So sometimes it's good to have a text before us that lays out the two ends of the spectrum just to help us get our bearings, Today we see two extreme characters, John the Baptist and King Herod. Lord, give us the courage and the faith to be more like John. When Christ calls us, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, when Christ calls us, he bids we come and die. God, give us the courage to risk our lives for your sake. Give us the words to speak what needs to be said. Give us the eyes to see those who have been forgotten. Give us the ears to hear and the hands to reach out in joy-filled, courageous service and love. And when God gives us that strength and that ability to do those things, there will be consequences, painful, sometimes even violent consequences. And yet, there's this last line of the text today. The text doesn't just end with John's head on the platter. Did you get this last line? When his disciples heard what had happened, they came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. They gathered together. They mark the loss with ritual and prayer, and I'm sure even thanksgiving to God for giving our brother to us to know and to love in our pilgrimage here on earth for all that he taught us and called us to do. Thank you, God, for his witness. And they wept, I'm sure. It didn't take the pain away. It didn't stop them from continuing to preach with their words and even more importantly with their actions. In that being community, that circling the wagons, that doing what the faithful do, God held them, those disciples. God filled them with grace and strength to carry on. God sent them back out and promises never to leave them. That goes for us too. This is the love that Christ has for you too. The crucified Christ's feeble arms wrap around us too, even and especially in our King Herod moments, even and especially as we fall short and get lured away and get too scared to die for anything, especially Jesus. That's precisely when Jesus reaches out his hands, embraces us, offers us forgiveness, calls us back, bids we come and follow still, and promises never to abandon us. Friends in Christ, let's gather like those disciples. In all our pain, and all our fear, and all our sorrow, and all our joy and excitement, let's gather to worship God. And then let's go out into the world again this week. And then let's do that again next week. Let's gather and give thanks where we are to God. And then let's go. Let's gather and let's go. Let's gather and let's go again and again. This is the life of the faithful. For in Christ, death is ultimately conquered forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. The Evangelical, that was terrible.
to learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.